from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac Insoo.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac Insoo.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Pleased to have you along. It's Rop and Sook. The big zucchini struggling a little bit today. He's a little hungover. He drinks a lot now. Likes to go and watch rock bands, get housed.
The voice is a little shot. It's a little shot. But we're hanging in there.
Nice. Well, only 3 hours to go.
We'll power through.
Here on Foo Monday.
We're fine. Like, if you can't do a show a little worse for the wear, maybe a little hungover, a little hoarse, then what are we doing?
That's
what are the
right.
troops even fighting for at that point?
Yeah, talk to Dan Lanning about that.
Exactly.
That's right. You know what he's going to tell you? Yeah. Suck it up, yeah, you little bitch.
It's a choice. Get your ass out of bed. Let's go.
Well, actually, that is 100% a choice.
Yeah.
You didn't have to drink. So,
no.
See, that's why I hate it when people complain about hangovers. And I'm not saying you're doing this. I'm just saying it drives me crazy. I'm like, well, don't.
Yeah.
Like, why are you complaining about? Yeah. That is entirely your own
doing.
Oh,
no. It's the consequences of my own decisions.
My own action. That's right. Oh, I'm too hungover. Well, stop drinking so much, you idiot.
Let me just say this, too.
Suck it up.
Dude, hangover.
Never complain about a hangover.
Get away. Like, is it really that bad? You wake up and you have a little you got your headache, or maybe you've got some whiskey S's. And
it can be.
Dude, for heaven's sakes, get a Gatorade, go sweat it out a little bit, and get going. I have no sympathy for hangovers whatsoever.
We've got some Lima Bean local quarterback news. I only got one other note in here for that. We've got our stock watch coming up next, but I wanted to tell you what Will Stein is calling his quarterback room now.
Oh.
And for those that don't know, Will Stein is the Oregon offensive coordinator.
Yes.
Did you know that?
You probably did know that. I am familiar.
He did a great
job last year.
He shot a photo out on his Insta or whatever. I don't know. Social media.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all the quarterbacks. Well, actually, it wasn't all of them, but it was most of the quarterbacks in the Oregon quarterback room.
Mm-hmm.
And he put on there the Fetty Wap song, Trap Queen.
That'd be Fetty Wap.
Oh, yeah. Whoever that is.
Yeah.
And then he added that, and then the caption read, Killer Qs. They're called the Killer Qs, Jace.
Oh, boy.
What do you think about that?
Really? Hey, man.
Yeah, really.
It's a young man's game.
Killer Qs. Yeah. And do you think he did that, Will Stein? Like, that's...
No,
I did not pick... or peg Will Stein as a Fetty Wap guy. That's a little surprising. Bit of an upset.
I'm guessing he's not. I'm guessing that's either that's one of those where the players turned him onto that, or Will Stein is trying to relate to his guys. You know.
Well, the reason I bring this up is, a lot of this stuff that's going on right now. Just wake me up when the games start, okay?
Yeah.
When something good happens,
well, and unfortunately,
or important happens,
well, and it kind of sucks too. In that first week, I mean, like, I'm not trying to poo on anyone's start of the season, but Oregon and Oregon State, you start with Idaho and Idaho State. I don't care. like that you couldn't find two more irrelevant games. I mean, I guess if you're a B fan, you know, you got so many new faces and, you know, I think you want to see you put your best foot forward there, but I certainly am not worried about Oregon State against, you know, in Idaho, anybody, any team from Idaho.
But you get live bullets though.
I guess.
And it counts towards your record. At least that's something.
Is it?
All this other stuff. So anyway, I was just looking at this picture going, who are these guys? Because I know obviously Gabriel and Novosad is in there. Do you know who else is in the Oregon quarterback room?
Yeah. So you've got the, is it Novosad?
Well, of course, Dante Moore.
Dante Moore should be the backup. And then the Austin Novosad kid. And then there's the other one.
There's a freshman
that's like
Luke Moga.
Moga, yeah. I was going to say, I feel bad because whenever I think of his name, I think of MAGA, but it's Moga.
Why would you feel bad about that?
Well, it's because, you know.
Make America great.
Hey, I'm not here to put any labels on anyone. My man, Luke. I don't know. Maybe Luke's.
You just sold MAGA up the river.
Well, he's in Eugene, for God's sakes. I'm not certain that he's that, but
hey,
yeah.
There's MAGA down there.
Yeah. And he's an Arizona kid, so.
Yeah, I've never even heard of him.
Yeah,
are they high on him? I don't know.
Well, I have heard some stuff on the other kid, the other redshirt freshman that they
his
that
name
they
is
like.
Brock Thomas, also never heard of. And then there's a kid that isn't in the photo who is named. So they have five. True freshman Ryder Hayes.
I don't think any of them play any sort of significant role.
So there you go. Those are your killer Qs.
Well, I think the only three killer Qs that you're going to see are 8, 5, and 16. There you go.
But those other three, whatever. Do they? Well, I know it's a whatever now, but that may not be the case in 2 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, Ryder Hayes is going to be dropping a country album.
That does sound like, yeah, he's going to be singing about shaking that sugar shaker, you know, heading down to the river in his pickup. But the weird thing about Oregon now is this may just kind of be one of those things where we get the transfer every year, you know, just restock.
Just like,
I mean, you got Bo Nix, and then now you got Dylan Gabriel, though you figure next year, Dante Moore, but man, you never know about transfer QBs. The Malachi Nelson kid, who was like the number two quarterback in the country, he transferred out of USC. He ended up at Boise State. He didn't win the job.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's this kid that's supposed to be the second coming, the next great USC quarterback. He leaves USC because he can't beat anyone out there. And we're like, Boise State? Why the hell you end up at Boise State? We didn't win the Boise State job. So just be careful, man, when you start seeing, you know, rankings. And I'm not trying to throw any shade at Dante Moore, but if you watched any of UCLA play last year, Dante Moore did not light the world on fire. He comes to Oregon. He's going to sit. He's going to learn. It's a great offense. A lot of talent around him. Learn from Dylan Gabriel. But this idea that Dante Moore is the next guy up at Oregon simply because he's number two on the depth chart, I don't mean squat. One of these other young cats could surprise this year. Or next year, after Gabriel leaves, Oregon could go out and find, I don't know, watch Aiden Childs blows it up at Michigan State this year, and Oregon's like, hey, would you like to come?
Aiden Childs. What about my guy? I'm worried about Jaden Daniels leaving after this year. He's at Kansas.
Yeah.
Well,
I think he's a senior, though.
No, he's not. He got a redshirt because he got hurt.
Oh, so he's got another year.
So he's got 2 years of eligibility.
Oh, there you go. He'll be the next Doug quarterback.
Well, I would mind that. Don't do that, Dan. I'm going to tell Dan to lay off of that kid.
You should. I'd like to see what he says to that.
Hey, stop looking at the juggernaut that is Kansas football. Knock it off.
Whoever is the top quarterback in the country, not named Carson Beck or Quinn Ewers, or a guy who's going to the NFL, could be Oregon's quarterback. I mean, I'm not kidding. This is how they're doing it now.
100%. Well, I mean, look, if you're Oregon or anyone, you know, in this sort of space, and you look at next year and you're like, hey, man, we got all the pieces. And our backup quarterback, he looked all right. You know, he's okay. We feel we'd be all right with him. But there is a all Big 12 quarterback. Let's say the kid at,
Kansas.
It's Texas Tech. I don't know who Texas Tech's quarterback is, but, you know. Or how about this one? What if, Fafita, the quarterback at Arizona, right?
Oh, there you go.
He was supposed to go to Washington, and Arizona paid him a bunch of money, stuck around, and he's got the best receiver in the country. What if he goes down, lights up the Big 12, but Arizona's very ho-hum, and he was a freshman last year. So he's got a couple years left. And you're Oregon, and you're sitting there, and you're like, yeah, we got Dante Moore, and we got Novosad, and we like those guys, and Fafita just was the best quarterback in the Big 12. Ooh, what if we go down there and place a little phone call? Yeah, that's just the way this is going to work going forward. And I think the more competition you have in a room, that's, you know, the days of you just being anointed the next guy up, I think those days at big time programs are over. And if you don't like it, well, sorry, learn to compete, because that's just the nature of what big time college football has turned into.
Now, do you think the Beavs would take Novosad right now over Gulbranson?
Yeah, I think so. Look,
would they take Dante Moore?
Yes, I think so. I don't think anyone, look, I hate throwing shade at any college kid, but look, Gulbranson cannot be the long-term answer there. It just can't be. So whether it's
I don't think he is.
Well, exactly.
It's so, just basically what we're talking about is with the Eggers report is that the other kid's not ready yet.
No. So,
but he even said,
and hopefully they will be.
He'll play and could take over. Yeah. It's just
so whether it's McCoy or whether it's Johnson, and look, if you're Oregon State, you're relying, and it's an all. This is the weird part about Oregon State is, you know, it's a outside of Gray, it's an all new offensive line. Although they do bring back some guys with some experience, but you have one starter. You got a couple. You got a kid that started a couple games, but you got one starter back in Gray. You lost your tight end. You lost Martinez. You know, Devan's your new offensive line coach. I mean, you'd like to think that this Oregon State O-line, which, you know, tends to crank out guys, you're going to have to rely on your run game. You just are. You're going to run the ball. You're going to try to play defense. I just don't know. I think that run game is going to be okay. I think it's going to be solid, but to say that I know for certain, I mean, for God's sakes, Colorado center is, you know, your starting center. And it's not a good thing, in my opinion, when anyone from Colorado's O-line is starting at your place. Now, I think your tackles will probably be okay. And I really like Josh Gray. I think he's an NFL guy. You know, I need to see it. Jam Griffin came back again. So he's back there. And then another one of the Colorado backs is it Hankerson? I think was the other Colorado player that transferred in. So I'm just reserving a big fat question mark for Oregon State until I see them. And really, San Diego State will tell me a little bit more about them. I don't really care about that first game of the year. But on the road, San Diego State, go down there and bully San Diego State. Because if you really are a Pac-12 level O-line and run game, you should be able to go down there, whether it's Gulbranson or one of the transfers, punt San Diego State in the mouth, impose your will, and prove that, you know, this is still a big physical power five group up front.
Do you know who San Diego State's quarterback is?
I do not. Should I?
No.
Have I heard of him? Is he?
Well, you've heard the name.
Oh, okay.
Danny O'Neill.
Any relate?
I don't know. I'm asking the same question in my head.
Does he have eligibility left?
Yeah, he's pretty old, isn't he? No, he... he's a freshman. I don't know. I was going to look up if it's. He says he's from Indianapolis, so I don't think there's any relation. So. But Texas Tech. Would you like to know their quarterback? It's kind of a fun game.
Sure,
like,
why not?
Random college team's new quarterback. Because
Chuck was their quarterback. You know, the last
year.
Yeah,
he's gone. But these guys move all over the place. This guy's name is. How would you pronounce Behren?
Beh.
Barron.
Barron. Yeah, I don't know.
Blonde? Yeah,
Barron.
Barron Morton.
Barron Morton.
Not a Barron.
Not going to be Oregon's quarterback. Barron.
I don't know.
He's their starter.
Every year, there's people that surprise. I just maybe not that kid.
All right. Up next. We're on Stockwatch.
Yeah.
What we're buying and selling from the weekend
Look
in sports
at us
on the Fan.
It's primetime Stockwatch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Sue buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stockwatch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right, coming up next on In the News, I've got very exciting news about that piece of crap that was beating that dog.
Yeah.
They got him.
Yeah, but we don't know about the dog.
So we'll get to that next. Here is Ryan Buckley with our Stack Watch.
an all quarterback edition of Stock Watch today. We're going to start with some quarterbacks who actually played in the preseason, some starters over the weekend. We'll start with one Patrick Mahomes who did this.
Mahomes keeps it, goes behind the back. Kelsey's got it for the first down. How do you like that?
Well, they talked about it in practice this week, and Mahomes even talked about the fact that he said Andy wants him to do it in a game. Well, guess what? Here it is. Behind the back flip to Travis Kelce for the first down. Now all of a sudden it's another thing for defenses to worry about.
Well, I don't think that that's actually one more thing for defenses to quote-unquote worry about against Patrick Mahomes. Buy or sell, the gimmicky or not, Patrick Mahomes will throw a behind-the-back pass touchdown this season.
Oh, no, I'll pass that. I mean, I'll tell you what. Like that, it went for like 5-6 yards, something like that. That's a really ballsy move down on the goal line because everything is really, really condensed. And you got Wash coming behind you. But that's, no. A first down, sure. I'll tell you what. They call that in a moment down near the goal line. Andy Reid can wheel his testicles out in a wheelbarrow. That's Iron Balls McGinty type stuff. But no, I mean, can we... I understand it's kind of a fun little, like, oh, behind the back, but they're, you know, that's not like some sort of...
It doesn't seem like the most efficient way to go about things.
It's not, and it's not like defenses are going to be like, oh, my goodness.
I'm
like,
scared of that now.
It's unstoppable.
Stop.
You can't stop that.
Exactly. So,
well, I mean, won't do it.
Huh? I do like the wrinkle because it's like, because when he goes behind the back, you do get an extra... What am I trying to say?
When you're moving
that way, yeah. and the defensive line is following you that way, yeah. and then you go behind the back. I don't know. I feel like it is.
If you watch this play, it did serve its purpose.
Yes,
like he didn't have to stop and turn his body. Yeah,
right. It's like it is an extra layer to that little shovel play. That
sure, but that's all it is. It's a shovel pass.
Yeah.
There's really no difference between this and running a little shovel pass, other than. It looks a little nice.
Well, don't you think you can get a little further out?
Yeah, I
suppose. And then you can dupe them a little more by doing that. And then if you can be accurate with the behind the back, you can. That's a really tough. I would think it just having the behind the back element now is going to piss defenses off because now you don't know whether to stay with them all the way out there or.
Except for the fact that ball was thrown behind Kelce and it's like a couple inches the other way and that hits him in the hip. And bounces up into the hands of a defender, and now we're like, you dumbass.
We're never throwing that pass ever
so,
again.
You know.
Yeah.
Or the defensive lineman just reaches it, like, just, this is not a thing.
You can't stop that. And yes, he will throw that.
NFL offenses have not evolved to now this thing. We're just, it's a fun little thing that Andy Reid threw in there.
He'll probably do it to a lineman in the red zone. That's what's going to happen.
I buy it.
All right, going to move on to the Miami Dolphins, and Tua Tagovailoa was asked on the Dan Lebatard show about the differences between his first head coach, Brian Flores, and his current head coach, Mike McDaniel. Here's what he said.
To put it in simplest terms, if you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. Like, you are accurate. You are the best whatever. You are this. You are that. Like, how would it make you feel listening to one or the other? You see what I'm saying? And then you hear it. You hear it, regardless of what it is, the good or the bad. And you hear it more and more. You start to actually believe that. I don't care who you are. You can be the president of the United States. You have a terrible person that's telling you things that you don't want to hear or that you probably shouldn't be hearing, you're going to start to believe that about yourself. And so that's sort of like what ended up happening. And it was, I mean, it's basically been, 2 years of training that out of not just me, but, you know, a couple of the guys as well that have been here since my rookie year all the way till now.
Kind of revealing in what he experienced with Flores versus McDaniel. Buy or sell that the relationship and rapport between quarterback and coach is more it's more important than we realize.
100%. And Brian Flores, if he ever gets another job, needs to take a long, hard look in the mirror. You heard this about Josh McDaniels as well. that he just is incapable of relating to people. And like, this hits home, and I was no one of any sort of significance, so this had nothing to do with whether or not I made it or not. I just wasn't very good. But I told the story all the time. Like, I used to just sit there in camp in Tampa and get told all the time that I, by my offensive line coach, that I was going to have a long drive back to wherever the hell I was from, Anchorage, Alaska, and think about how I was going to support my family because I wasn't going to be on this team because I was effing terrible, and then some sort of Mormon insult. Like, you know, and I get it. It's part of football, and you toughen up. But I'm here to tell you, when you do hear that stuff day in and day out, it doesn't help your performance. And I can only imagine being the quarterback and being expected to be the franchise guy and knowing that my coach doesn't want me there. And it was no secret. Brian Flores basically came out and told everyone that he didn't want Tua, that he didn't want him drafted. So, like, this is just, it's glaring, the difference between what a coach that believes in you and what a coach doesn't. I don't know many quarterbacks that would have succeeded with that sort of situation in place. And Flores, before he ever gets another job, should take a long, hard look in the mirror at what Tua was and what he is now currently. And there's other things that go into that as well, but he should be embarrassed that he got himself a very, very good quarterback and did absolutely nothing with him. And a lot of that, I think, is his own fault. So, yes, I totally believe in that relationship.
Yeah, I would have to buy that. I think, you know, even football comes down to basic things like human relations and human dynamics.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty much everything. Yeah. comes back to that.
Yeah.
And Flores is the defensive coordinator of the Vikings right
yes.
now. He does have another job, but yeah. not a head coaching,
not a head
job.
Coaching job.
And maybe that's why he never got another head coaching job.
Yeah.
Is that he's just a jerk.
Yeah.
And he's tough, and bristly, and people know it. But there's a lot of football coaches like this.
Yep.
And there's a lot of people in life like this that are supposedly leaders.
Yep. And you hear, and there was a lot of people today, and that, you know, because this was on Lebatard's show, and there's a lot of people doing the telling Tua to toughen up and, you know, thick skin and all that. And
well, I'm glad he said it. I actually gave him a lot of credit for coming out and saying that.
Yeah, I think it's pretty rare that a quarterback is that candid about those relationships are like behind
just
the scenes.
Being honest.
From my experience, it doesn't do any good to tell someone consistently that they're a piece of crap, that they're not wanted and they shouldn't be here. I just don't.
Should I change my approach with you?
Probably. Although it's working 20 plus years. My coach in college, he would tell you that was his way of making you tougher and that he wanted you to overcome that. And I just, that's such an ass backwards philosophy, at least in my opinion. But
well, a lot of those guys believe that.
A lot of those guys do believe it.
By the way, look at somebody text this in. Look at the Dan Marino behind the back pass. Have you seen that?
No.
Yeah, he did it. Oh, well, it's practice.
Yeah, he's like never, messing around in warm-ups or something.
He would never do it in a game, but it's like a 30-yarder. It's pretty awesome.
I've seen guys that can put some zip on that, like when they're screwing around, but I've never seen Marino's.
Yeah, he throws a teddy.
Yeah.
All right, we touched on this topic earlier with the Pittsburgh Steelers. This was Mike Tomlin after their loss to, who did they play over the weekend?
Bills.
That's right, the Bills. They played both starters or both quarterbacks the entire game and mustered all of 3 points. He tried to protect them a little bit by saying the offensive line play wasn't great.
We didn't do a good enough job of protecting the quarterback. We got to do a better job in pass protection than we did, not only in possession downs, but just in general. And I was really upfront with the group about it in that regard. That can't be a problem for us.
I know that you guys both sounded like you thought that he might not go where they were. Might not make it to 500 this year, might not have a winning record. Buy or sell, Mike Tomlin will still be the head coach of the Steelers at this time next season.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think his job's necessarily in jeopardy. And I don't think they're a playoff team, but, you know, he doesn't lose there. He does not have losing records. And dude, they went to the playoffs last year with Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett. And I would assume that Justin Fields and Russell Wilson are an uptick. I just think when you look at that division, you look at the wild card situation, I don't think they're a playoff team. Do I think it gets him fired? No. But Pittsburgh is they're the worst team in that division with the worst quarterback situation in that division. And to be honest with you, I don't think it's that close. So I do not think this is going to be a great year for the Steelers.
No, he'll be there. You know, the Steelers have only had three head coaches since 1969. Did you know that?
I did know that.
That's 55 years.
I know, it's ridiculous.
That is insane.
They don't move on from
this. So they're not going to move on from Tomlin. And this is probably not going to be his fault if they don't make the playoffs.
And to be honest with you, if they were really terrible, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. You get a top three pick, draft your future quarterback, and hopefully go from there. Because since Roethlisberger retired, even though they've won some games, this isn't they're not a real threat, and they won't be until they find a real quarterback.
And then the last one for you, as you previously mentioned, Gardner Minshew has been named the starting quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders. But I found this soundbite from his head coach quite interesting.
Yeah, experience, the operation, the processing, just everything we saw in practice. Some of it showed up in the games. A lot of stuff we can get better at. I don't think anything here is a finished product. But based off of where we want to go in the first quarter of the season, we feel like Gardner gives us the best opportunity.
Buy or sell that Antonio Pierce does not have intention of Gardner Minshew starting beyond the first quarter of the season.
I don't know about that. They just don't have a quarterback.
Isn't it a little weird to just say...
Well, look, you know what that means? Can I translate what he just said?
Yeah.
Aiden O'Connell sucks.
Yeah.
That's what he just said.
Pretty much.
So what else is, what's he to do? Yeah. He has no other quarterback.
Well, that Gardner gives us the best shot this season, the best shot moving forward. He's like, oh, get best shot for the four games or so.
This has nothing to do. I can't say nothing. This is, as Rob said, this is more about
O'Connell.
Someone else's performance than Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew is a great story, and he's a fun little stopgap quarterback, but that is exactly what he is. And
Pierce doesn't want him as his quarterback.
And he doesn't want O'Connell as his quarterback either. But you don't have a choice. So
where's Jimmy G when you need him?
He's suspended.
I know.
Wait, what's he suspended for?
PEDs, I think, right?
Baby.
Really?
Yeah.
How many games?
Two.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
But he's not with the team, though, is he?
I think you can be with the team through the preseason. You can't play. And then once the season starts, I think that you gotta go away. So,
but wait, is he with a team?
Yeah, he's with the...
Is he with the Raiders? I don't think so.
No, he's with the Rams.
Oh, that's right. He's with the Rams.
Oh, the Rams.
Sorry.
He was a Raider last year.
He was a Raider last year. Yeah, he'll
But he is suspended for the Rams.
Yeah, he's suspended. So that's why Stetson Bennett has played like every snap. But the belief is that Jimmy G will be the quarterback. Sorry, I got my LA Raiders and my LA Rams mixed up. Yeah, Jimmy G has moved on. I don't know if they have another quarterback outside of O'Connell and Minshew. But it doesn't matter because they don't have a quarterback. So.
Watch McVay win a Super Bowl with Jimmy G. Wouldn't that be funny? I'd root for that.
That'd be interesting. You know.
Sorry, Sam Fran boy over there. But wouldn't that be funny if McVay won a Super Bowl with that guy?
Sure.
Yeah, Carter Bradley and, more importantly, Nathan Peterman.
Oh, God. How does
he...
He's still in the league?
Well, he's the four-string guy.
He's the best player in the league at holding a clipboard at approximately the 45-yard line, so he gets the job.
Dude,
Nathan GD Peterman.
That guy is terrible.
Yeah.
Why is he still around?
Yeah, he's probably a smart guy and is good in the locker room, and you have to
have any ripples or make any waves in around at all, and you don't have to worry about him.
Maybe good scout team guy, just, I don't know, good in the film room, helps the other guys. You know, some guys can point out, you know, hey, you need to do this, this, and this. I can't do it, but I can teach you how to do it.
All right, that's our Stock Watch brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, or child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. Call 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. In the news is next, they got him. Here's Buck.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Pleased to have you along. Big Monday program. Week zero, college football. I think after this weekend, well, no, we have got football this weekend. So we have made it to where we will have some sort of football every weekend until February.
Yeah, so you can just go back to ignoring your family.
Yeah.
I've already started, to be honest with you.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm over it.
It is August 19, 2024. It's time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello. Nice to be here.
Where have you guys been?
It is National Orangutan Day.
Oh, I love.
You love that.
I love me the great apes. Love me, love me, love me. And the orangutan, it's just, you know, they seem like the most lovable of the great apes. Now, they'll still rip your face off, but, you know, right-hand turn Clyde, there's just... there's something great about him.
Yeah.
Love him.
Right turn, Clyde. What not right say? Hand turn.
Oh, yeah. Right
turn. Right turn, Clyde, and then he would punch.
He'd punch him.
Yeah.
Any which way but loose.
That's all I think about.
Yeah.
When I think of the orangutan.
Well, and then you get into the Jungle Book, you're right, you got King Louie, and, you know, you got Dr. Zaius. You know, the orangutan plays a big role in the movie world.
It is also International Talk Like Jar Jar Binks Day.
No.
Nope. Not doing it.
No.
What does Jar Jar Binks sound like?
I'm not going to do it.
No. Well, can somebody just give me an idea?
No.
Like an alien. Like an annoying alien.
It's the dumbest decision that's ever been made in a Star Wars movie, and that's saying something. Way to go, George Lucas.
Is what?
Jar Jar Binks.
Making Jar Jar Binks talk
him
like
as a
that?
Character.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't like Jar Jar Binks.
No. I'm not even a Star Wars guy, and I find Jar Jar Binks annoying.
He is the most. He might be the most annoying character in movie history.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah. Yeah, it's.
I smell a segment.
I was just gonna say, most annoying character in movie history. Go,
Misa. Think that Jar Jar is a Misa douche. How about that?
I'm trying to think of who really annoys me.
Jar Jar Binks
in movies. Well, I don't even know who Jar Jar. I couldn't even pick him out of the lineup.
Yeah.
Is he human?
No.
No, he's like an alien.
And he's not a great ape, by the way. I would take all the great apes over Jar Jar Binks. By the way, little known fact: great ape. Us. So if you wanted to say that you're a big fan of the humans, we're a great ape as well.
Now, BuzzFeed has a list of the 21 most unlikable movie characters of all time.
Is he number one?
No.
He should be.
The Titanic's Cal Hockley is number one.
Really?
It's the Billy Zane character.
That's the Billy Zane. Yeah. He does suck. But.
Dolores Umbridge from the Harry Potter movies.
Huh.
I mean, more than Voldemort? Come on.
I liked him.
Yeah, of course you did.
I'm on his side.
Rooting for the bad guy.
Percy from The Green Mile.
Yeah. That's
cool. Oh, that guy was awful. He was the warden guy or the...
Yeah. Well, you have Shawshank Warden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. At least he was a good
Warden
bad,
Norton.
At least he was a good bad guy. And he kills himself at the end, so he did one good thing. It's Better than anything that Jar Jar Binks ever did.
Johnny from Karate Kid.
Oh. Hey, I stand by. If you go back and look at that, Johnny was in the right. Johnny was minding his own business, and that bitch Daniel kept bugging Johnny after Johnny told him to knock it off, and then Johnny was forced to kick his ass. Johnny is not the bad guy in that story. Stand by that statement.
Body bag! Yeah!
Gordon Gekko also on the list.
See, to say that those are the most hated, maybe, but most annoying, no.
And they're intentionally evil.
Yes.
So.
Jar Jar Binks was supposed to be lovable, and he wasn't. He was terrible, and he ruined that movie.
Well, I'll put that in the club notes. Yeah. Most annoying characters in movie history. Maybe we can do that in our all-club 1080 edition of the program this Wednesday.
Annoying is different than hated. Yeah, and yes, it is. Come Wednesday. Let's go.
Yeah, we're going to be at 10 Barrel Brewing. I'll just plug it now.
Yeah.
We're going to be out there Wednesday for Club at the Pub.
That's right. Pub beer.
All Club 1080 on Wednesday, celebrating Pub Beer's new sponsorship of the club.
Yeah, I'm going to drink a case of Pub. Let's go.
So they got this douchebag, this guy we were talking about last week, who was caught on the surveillance video beating the dog in the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Little Justin Bieber-looking douche. Now, I will tell you that I was down at the jail today, but they had to hold me back.
Mm.
I was trying to kick your ass, you little bitch. That's what I was saying.
You were ready to go.
I was trying to get in there and kick the crap out of this guy.
Well, you should.
You freaking bitch! But they held me back.
That dude.
It took a lot of people to hold me back.
That dude is such a pathetic pile of crap. And the worst part is, when they caught the son of a bitch, he's refusing to tell him where the dog
is. Well, yeah, he probably killed the dog.
Probably.
But this says, thanks to community tips, and I'd like to thank mainly our show.
Yeah.
Detectives were able to find and arrest the suspect. His name, now don't hold this against him, okay?
Yeah.
His name's Isaac?
His name is Isaac Booker Justum.
Hmm.
His name actually is Isaac?
Yes.
Oh, we got to hold it against him.
Don't hold that against him. That's not his fault.
He is an absolute human piece of dung.
We'll hold it against you.
Yeah, don't do that either. Yeah. He is 25 years old. August 2nd, he was on surveillance cameras in an apartment building on Northeast Holiday Street in Northeast Grand. The footage showed him repeatedly beating this dog, the small black dog. He had whipped it with a belt or like the leash or whatever.
It was a rope leash, and then he hung it.
So on Saturday, around 4:30, he was spotted by detectives who requested assistance from the Central Precinct. They took him into custody. He was at Northeast 13th and Flanders. Or sorry, Northwest 13th in Flanders. After being arrested, he claimed to have swallowed fentanyl and was transported to a hospital for evaluation.
Yeah.
He was then released, and when they interviewed him, they said he would not give them information about the dog's whereabouts.
Which probably means that he's killed the dog.
So he was booked into Multnomah County Detention Center on 3 felony counts of first-degree aggravated animal abuse and multiple... He had multiple outstanding warrants.
Yeah. So hopefully he goes to prison for a long time and gets the gout and, I don't know, possibly some sort of nerve disorder. Fingers crossed. This guy, just an absolute piece of crap. Poor little dog. And I don't know, maybe the dog... Maybe the dog it got away, and I don't know, just fingers crossed, but it doesn't look good.
This says if prosecutors go to trial against this guy for this particular event, they say that they'll have to prove his intent that day in the elevator in order to convict him of aggravated abuse.
Why do you really?
How about
prove intent for beating the dog?
He beat the living hell out of the dog and then hung it. What do you mean?
I was having a bad day versus the dog did something bad to me? No, what are we talking about here?
The intent, you literally hung the dog by its neck from a fire extinguisher. What intent?
They have an attorney here saying that did he intend to inflict pain as opposed to intend to do something else? It's all going to depend on what's in his head, not what's in his hand.
What?
So can I go meet this gentleman and just beat the living hell out of him, and then you can question whether I meant to beat him or whether I was trying to do something else? I'd like to say that my intent is not to beat the living hell out of him. I'm just trying to teach him something.
They said his defense could be, I didn't know the difference between right and wrong. I didn't know the difference between dog and elevator wall. I was just doing whatever it is I wanted to do because I was so impaired in a way that is a defense, says one attorney here.
So key is, I just got to get really drunk. Then I can go kick the living hell out of this guy. Cool. All right. Cool rules, everybody.
So it's kind of a wild way to wake up, primetime Eugene, where a woman who lives in the West University area woke up to a stranger using her shower.
Yeah, I would say that's a bit odd.
This was on Friday.
Yeah. This is happening, not I'm going to say frequently, but I saw one just the other day where someone woke up and someone was sleeping on their couch. Like,
yeah,
they had no idea. It was just, and he hung around there. He waited for the cops to show up, and the cops were like, what's going on? They're like, please arrest him. And they were like, well, why? Because he's in our house and we don't know who he is.
Was it Ryan Russillo?
I don't think so. But yeah, that was a bed, not a couch.
All right, well.
Yeah, he climbed into someone's bed.
So this happened. So this was at like 11:15 in the morning.
Yeah, he's taking a shower. At least he was trying to
Why is she waking up at 11:15 in the morning? Come on, lady.
Well, that's
Put
true.
Your ass up.
Yeah,
what the hell?
That does seem a bit late. Hey, maybe
she might have been a college kid.
Yeah, maybe
she is an aloof bitch.
Maybe they're in the bar industry, you know, late night.
Yeah, that's true.
Closing down a restaurant.
Yeah, she called them and said there was an unknown person in her house using her shower. She had awakened to hear someone in the shower and got up to investigate. She saw a man left the apartment and called police. Yeah. Upon arrival, officers made several unsuccessful efforts to hail the suspect to come out.
Yeah. Well, he was, you know, taking a nice hot shower. Maybe doing a little scrubbing. Who knows? Well, you know, maybe something else.
Officers entered the home and made additional attempts to get the unwanted visitor to come out. And finally, a male began to walk down the stairs, but then reversed and went back upstairs. Officers subsequently located an unclothed man. Oh, my God. Yeah. His name's Isaac.
What is with the Isaacs right now? Good God.
34-year-old Isaac Arthur Goodman. Mm. I love how they always have to do the full name.
Yeah, the full one.
He was in the shower. He was arrested without incident. He was transported to Lane County Jail and logged on multiple warrants.
Can I also
in a charge of burglary.
In that sort of thing, can't we just unleash the Maligator? Can't we just get the Malinois? Like, hey, I think if you're naked, the cops have every right to sick the dog on you. Like, hey, can you come down here? Yeah, we're going to need you to put some pants on. No? All right, dog, go. Chopper, sick balls.
Well, his defense is probably going to be that he had a job interview and he's trying to turn his life around.
By the way, that dude's really lucky because you break into some homes and taking a shower, you're dead in that shower.
Well, not only that, but why is it that they have to lure him out? Like, be so careful. Go in there and get his ass.
Yeah. I don't know. Well,
he's
again,
naked.
Yeah, that's the thing. No one wants to tackle a naked guy.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. You know my thing. You never fight someone naked. That's just, it's not good. It's bad.
It's a good piece of advice,
I guess. Yeah, no one wins. No one wins with that. It's like when you're in a locker room and two guys start yelling at each other, you do that. Listen up, dudes. Like, if you guys want to beat each other, that's fine. But, you know, throw some undies on first, okay? No one needs to see this. That little towel ain't holding nothing in. So,
has violent crime gone up or down in Portland in the first 6 months of 2024?
Well, shower crime apparently through the roof.
That's next on The Fan.
This is the.
All right, welcome back. This is In the News, Aug 19, 2024. After years of growing violence, throttling the city, and causing shockwaves of concern. It's quite a line.
That is. It was shockwaves?
I mean, I guess that's accurate.
Yeah,
I don't know. Portland can finally report a steady drop in violent crimes.
All right.
Across the board.
That's fun. I will say it does feel better. We were out and about this weekend, cruising around downtown, bar to bar, and it's getting better out there. I know a lot of people refuse to believe it, but it is. It's getting cleaner, and you see more people out there. Bars staying open later. You know, it's we're making improvements.
In a violent crime survey conducted by the Major Cities Chiefs Association, Portland's homicide rate, January 1 to June 30 of 2024, is shown to have decreased by 23%.
That's tease right there. I like it.
Compared to the same six-month period in the 2023 calendar year.
So can we stop hearing the national reports about Portland being a city on fire and, you know, it's going straight to hell?
Well, it was never on fire.
Well, for a while there it was. We were
one president said we'd been on fire for over a decade.
Yeah,
we're
burning.
That's just not true.
We tried to burn down the courthouse.
Fake news.
We tried. Didn't work.
According to the survey, so that's homicides. Other criminal activities were also tracked, including robbery, assault, and rape, all of which saw similar decreases.
Right.
Portland had 683 robberies in the first 6 months of 2023. So far this year, 523.
Right.
Good little trajectory.
I like it.
Aggravated assault last year, 1,526. This year, 1,430. Got a little work to do there.
Got some work, but hey, you know, progress.
Nope.
Rape's about the same. So, yeah. Are things looking up?
I think things are looking up. Hey, okay. Always look on the bright side of life.
I think that's all we have time for here. Hmm.
Although I did just see a headline. Says, man shot to death in Southeast Portland, putting city close to 2023 homicide pace. So,
well, we just got this from the Vancouver 4 text line. Did you see this one? Another reminder not to mess with people in other vehicles. I was heading to the golf course Saturday and sat at a stoplight. A couple of bros pulled up next to me and proceeded to unload a clip at other bros in a 7-Eleven parking lot. Happened about 5 feet away from me and was over in 3 seconds.
Hey-o!
Yikes.
I'm just telling you what the headline said.
Is that right? Like a gang shooting?
I would assume.
Sounds
so.
Like it.
Yeah, sounds like a hit.
I think it's the mob.
The mob? I don't think we have the mob.
Is that how the mob does the...
No, I think the mob just blows you up. They
like a car bomb.
Yeah, the mob's got a more subtle way of doing things.
Where
right?
You start you turn the ignition and you.
Yeah, I always think in movies when they do that, I always think that's a cool way.
Like, yeah, because you just never know until you turn the. Yeah, and then it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late. You always have that OS moment, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, so yeah. I refute your crime story with the Oregonians.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I mean, there aren't that many homicides. So if just one more, and it's like, wait, we were only 23% down. And so if you add one more, are we now 10% down?
I don't like the headline, putting city close. I don't know. What does close mean?
Well, it's under 23%.
Well, I can't read it because it's probably under the stupid paywall. But
God, stupid paywall.
It does say there have been fewer murders in Portland than at the same point last year.
Well, I just said
that. I know, but I don't understand. Then why are they saying that it's putting us close?
Because, like I said, there aren't that many of them. And so one extra
puts it there.
Puts it closer. Because it was only 23% down. So if you add one more, I think there's like 30-some homicide. Yeah. So you add one more.
I'm choosing.
Now it's 10% down.
I'm choosing to take it as a positive. We're tracking in the right direction.
Yeah, I don't know.
I also say this, and this is going to sound really insensitive and like a big fat jerk.
Uh-oh.
But I'll say it anyways.
I love these. These are great.
Okay.
I can't wait to hear this.
Well, I mean, follow me on this one.
We'll see.
All right. So we're cruising around the city, right?
Yeah.
And if you're there and like you're going to get yourself a twisty cone, you want a nice frozen treat.
Okay.
You know, maybe with some sprinkles. Maybe you're heading down to Salt and Straw, right? And a bullet rings out and catches you. You're just there trying to enjoy your dairy treat, maybe a vegan treat because you don't like dairy, and you get caught with one. Like, in my opinion, that is different than two groups of people that hate each other and roll up outside of a 7-Eleven and unload a clip and mow someone down in a car. I view those things. I don't view those homicides as equal. I view those very differently.
Yeah. But, one, well, in what ways are they?
Well, because like
targeted versus.
Well, yeah. So like if I'm in the city and I hear that people are getting shot while getting, you know, standing in line at Salt and Straw.
Yeah.
Or, you know, outside of the, you know, the Tasty Freeze. That's scary because that's like, oh, my God, like it can get to anyone. But if it's 2 a.m. and I'm at the shadiest 7-Eleven known to man and someone rolls up on me specifically because I did something to them and mows me down. I don't think that makes the city more dangerous. I don't think that makes it scarier. I think it just means that you got people that are literally actively involved in trying to kill one another. I view those completely different in terms of how I view the city.
I mean, I don't think that's insensitive. I think that's
I'm not saying
fair.
That I want anyone to die or that family isn't. But there are times that you bring the murder to your doorstep, and there's times it comes to yours. And I think those things are very, very different.
Well, right. It's like when... If you said all of the shootings in Portland, or really anywhere, are gang-related...
Yes.
Most people that aren't in a gang...
Yeah.
They don't... They're like, well, that's sad that they do that to one another, but that doesn't really pertain to me.
Exactly.
But this is what we were saying last week. When a shooting happens at places we frequent...
Yes.
That is when you get our attention. Schools... Salt and Straw.
Amen.
Wherever it is.
Yes.
People are like, whoa, hey, Fred Meyer, I go there.
Yeah.
We can't have this.
No.
Even though it could be a gang shooting there.
That's true.
You know?
Yes.
So you could catch a stray from a gang shooting.
That
Look,
is
we should
true.
Have no shootings. But no. I see what you're saying.
That's all I'm saying.
It's like, The thing that freaks people out is just the random open fire on a crowd of people thing. Yeah. That's just, it's terrifying.
Yes.
Because it could happen anywhere, and, you know, you just,
and
you never know.
And this guy's saying, I don't know what you're talking about, Sue, because, yes, dudes rolling up targeting someone can hit other people. Absolutely. I'm not saying that one is peachy keen, but I do think that there is a difference in those things, that when someone is particularly targeted and they're shooting into another car versus random violence out on the street, you know, someone goes up, hey, give me your purse, shoot you in the head. I think those are two different things. One's not great, one's not terrible, but I think they're different.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I don't think that's that controversial.
No, I also think there's a difference.
I need you to be more controversial.
Well, it's like the difference between, like I say, like with homeless people. Like, there's a difference between someone that fell on hard times, slipped through the cracks, needs some assistance up, right? And someone that actively chooses to be like, no, I'm not taking part in any of this. And by the way, give me all the fentanyl. Like, again, I view those things as different, even though they're in the same situation.
That is in the news, Aug 19, 2024. Coming up next is the Hot 5 at 5. We have quite a bit to tell you about, a lot of quarterback news on this Monday. We'll get to all of that when we return, followed by our weekend weed whacker on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!